Let's pray. Lord, bless us. Amen. How many of y'all, when y'all were kids, which was like yesterday, for some of y'all, played a game where you would stand about arm's distance from somebody, and the game was like, don't flinch, don't blink, and they would do this at your face to see how close they would get, and you wouldn't blink. Anybody? Okay, girls too. See y'all, Xena Warrior Princess women in here fighting up in here. Okay? How many of y'all did that? Raise your hand for real. Okay, so y'all know what I'm talking about. And so you go, whap! And sometimes you get hit, but most of the time, you know, it was just came real close, but you had to not blink. Right? Okay. When God sends you on a mission, which is your life, is a mission. A lot of times, he's going to put you in a position where you might blink. You might get scared. The question is, do you keep going or do you stop? We're going to start the book of Joshua. Joshua was Moses' assistant, and he is going to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And as he leads the Israelites into the promised land, he's going to be challenged to blink, and he's going to be coming up with a very many, many obstacles that he's going to face. Now, the title of this series through the book of Joshua is Extreme Home Takeover. And the reason we call it Extreme Home Takeover, because the promised land is the Jewish home. He promised it to them from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to give you this land. Gave them the boundaries over and over and over again. So they are now finally going in to claim their land. Now, when you watch the news and you see Israel fighting for the Gaza Strip and Lebanon, all that kind of stuff, guess what? They are continuing to do exactly what Joshua started. That's their land. All that land is Jewish land. It don't matter what governments do. In the end, Christ is going to return. You heard the second coming, and he's going to rule the earth from that land and give it back to them. That's what's going to happen. So the reason you see it in the news, because it is newsworthy on a spiritual, heavenly proportion, and God is going to come back. No matter how much they fight, when Christ comes back, he will settle it. And ironically enough, everyone fighting them is Muslim. It's a whole other thing because all the Muslims are descendants of Abraham's other son, Ishmael. And they're fighting against Abraham's son, Isaac. So you see the descendants of Isaac fighting the descendants of Ishmael, both descendants of Abraham. They're fighting. You're watching a spiritual battle happen right before your eyes. It's not political. Okay, that's a whole other story. Here's Joshua getting ready to take the Israelites into the promised land. Let's do a little review. And so we'll see how much you remember about what we've been studying for the last few years, even though a lot of y'all weren't here all that time. But still, you'll get it. First book of the Bible is Genesis. Genesis is the book of what? I love y'all so much. Second book of the Bible, Exodus. Exodus is what from where? Very good. Let's see the map, fellas. Okay, so we got exit from Egypt. First thing, all the Jews and Moses and the camel is going to walk down. Okay, they got one camel, 2 million people. They went down and they, watch this, they went to Mount what? Very good. The third book of the Bible starts with an L. They happened all at Mount Sinai. What book is that? Very good. Leviticus, LPLP, if you remember, Levitical laws pertaining to the Levitical priests. Then after they left Mount Sinai, they walked, the book of wandering, they walked to the plains of what? And that book is called, wait, hold on. Notre Dame girl. Where's Notre Dame girl? What are the digits? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What's the show we've been talking about? Numbers. The book of what? Numbers. The book of what? Very good. So the book of Numbers, they walk. Can I give me a walk? Do they walk already? Where are they at? Oh, there they go. Hey, they walk in circles. Oh, what are we going to want to go on? And then they got to the fifth book of the Torah. The Torah is the first five books of the Bible. Torah means to teach. Remember Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and? Very good. Deuteronomy took place in the plains of what? Moses died and they buried him in Mount what? Very good. Now here we are. Mount in Moab. The Jews are getting ready to go over into the promised land and cross the Jordan River. That's the book of Joshua. Now, if God is going to bring you to a place of promise that he has for you, remember he told them, I'm going to bring you to a land of flowing with milk and honey, a place where cows can be bred and bees can pollinate plants and you can eat. If God has a place of promise for you, it's not necessarily a physical place, a spiritual place. Where you have a relationship with God, where you have peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, you have a sense of security, eternal security. If God's going to bring you to that place, it's going to require, just like in this scenario, leadership. And what we're going to learn from the book of Joshua is we're going to learn a lot of principles about taking God's promises for you. And we're going to apply those principles to our own journey of acquiring what God has for us. Fact, God does have a promised land for you, a place of great blessing. Fact, if you are going to take it, there are going to be many principles we're going to learn from this book. And the first one is that it's going to require leadership. Everyone say leadership. And leadership is going to have to come from you. Now, there are people in your lives who could be leaders, but in the end, it's going to have to require, you're going to be the one to make a decision to read the Bible. You're going to be the one to make a decision to pray, to be a good steward, to serve, etc. You have to do that. No one can do that for you. So you're going to have to lead yourself. Amen? Amen. Now, look at your notes. The first word we're going to look at today is called kazak. Everyone say kazak. Everyone say kazak. If you look here up on the board, we have a word wall. We have kazak right there. It's going to be there the whole series when it's create all these words on the wall for you. Kazak, if you look in your notes, it says to show oneself strong, the strength of purpose that enables one to withstand fear or difficulty. If God's promise for me is over there, I am going to have to be able to withstand fear or difficulty to get it. It is not going to be pain-free. It is not going to be obstacle-free. I am going to have to withstand fear and difficulty to get it. That's a fact. If you ever heard someone say, well, you know, if it's not working easy and if it's difficult, maybe God's not in it. Do not believe that one bit. Look, find me one person in the Bible that didn't do something great for God, didn't have difficulty. Every single one of them did. Jesus died. So don't think just because it's not going smooth that God's not in it. You think the devil's just going to let you take back territory he's already gained and not do anything to you? Please. There's a ministry in this church called JC's Girls. They minister to women in strip clubs. Amen. Go ahead, girls. I'm on that preferred email list. So I get the email every week and I read them. And I scream at my computer, hearing stories of women going into a strip club, buying time for a stripper. The stripper comes in the booth and praying for her right there, witnessing her right there. Women who are pregnant now deciding to keep their babies. Women, moms who've been praying for their daughters now want to come to church. Do you think the devil's going to stand around and let that amazing ministry happen without doing something? No. He's going to mess with them. He's going to mess with me. He's going to mess with everybody involved. He does not want to let those women go. We got people recruiting mentors for kids in foster care. We got people ministering to people in convalescent homes. On and on and on. The devil's not going to sit around and just do nothing. He's going to try to beat everyone associated down. Okay, so if you're going to go take what God has for you, you're going to have to be able to confront fear and difficulty. Okay, let's read chapter 1, verse 1, Joshua. Everyone say Joshua? Very good. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, saying, my servant Moses is dead. Now, therefore, go rise over the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am given to them, the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will have given them, as I said. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land, the Hittites, and to the great sea or Mediterranean, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Anytime you hear going down of the sun, that's the west side. Anytime you hear the rising of the sun, that's the east side. Verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers. Point number one in your notes, it says, even though conquering the land is a big job, everyone say big. Even though it's a big job, remember success has been secured from eternity past. Therefore, press on until the job is done. What God has for you is, yes, a big job, but it is already waiting for you to come get it. Now, let me explain to you the difference between what I'm telling you and prosperity teaching. You may hear some people talking about prosperity teaching where they say, just name it, claim it. This is not that. To say that you could just name it, claim it because you're a Christian, you should get good stuff, is garbage to me. God's not called all of you to be rich. There's people who minister all around the world, third world countries, and they are living very, very simply, doing an amazing job for God, and they are right where God wants them. They're not rich monetarily. They're rich spiritually. And oh yeah, he's called you to be rich spiritually, not monetarily. God says, don't pursue riches on earth that way a moth can eat it and a thief can steal it. Pursue riches in heaven. So don't be confused that if I just, you know, be strong, I can get anything I want. No, no. You will get what God has assigned to you. Example, I have not been called to be a singer. How many of y'all watch American Idol? Weren't you mad the other day? Hot, yelling at the TV. People who can't sing getting, you know, I ain't gonna name no names. I call him Raji. I don't even want to say his name. Oh, no, it's not right. It just ain't right. Now, I can't sing. But neither can some of them, neither. But if I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm gonna get a Grammy and I'm gonna start singing, you know what God would say? Please. You can name Jesus all you want. You ain't singing for nobody. That's going to come back a second time. But I tell you what, if I get in tune with what God wants for my life, and I know what God wants for my life, and I pray for that, and I'm obedient, that will happen. There is something God has for you, and let me say, minimum is that you have a transforming, powerful, supernatural relationship with him. That's minimum for everybody. Then God expresses that differently for everybody. But if you say, Lord, I am going to obey you and I am going to trust you, then you will have success in what God has already predetermined you should have success in. It is not anything you want. You know the verse, I can do anything with Christ strengthens me? It doesn't mean you can do anything with Christ strengthens you. That's not what it means. I'll give you an example. It doesn't mean you could fly. You know, it's like none of y'all in this room, and I say none of you, most likely nobody in this room, there may be one, will ever win a slam dunk contest at the NBA All-Star game. You follow me? I don't care how much you pray and read the Bible, that will never happen. So when you say, I can do all things Christ strengthens me, you need to know really what that means. And what that means is that anything Christ puts in front of you to overcome, anything he has called you to confront, if you trust him, you can deal with it. That's what that means. Okay? It doesn't mean you can do anything you want because you can't do anything you want. It's very specific to what God has created you to be. And so what he's saying here is that to Joshua, you are going to lead the people into the promised land. That is what I assigned you to do. And the first thing he says is, look, in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Say Kazakh. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Now here's my question to you. Does God have permission to challenge you? Or have you created a bubble around yourself that God can't come in? This is my comfort bubble. And I come out of my comfort bubble when I want to go to church. Word. I ain't saying pen. I'm just going to say word. And now I'm back in my comfort bubble. Don't be, you know, asking for my time. Don't be asking for me to pray. Don't be asking for my money. I'm in my comfort bubble. This is all about me. God, I'll see you Sunday. Now, some of y'all have that. Let me tell you truth. You will never go into the promised land as long as you're in your bubble. You know what I'm saying? Because the promised land is over there and your bubble can't fit in. I had, it wasn't really a sermon, but I'm probably going to, I should title a sermon, Is Your Butt Too Big for Heaven? Here's what I mean by that. Some people are not going to get in heaven because their butt's too big. I'm not talking about baby got back butt. I'm talking about this kind of butt. I believe in God, but I know I need to pray, but I know I need to go to church, but that's going to keep you out of heaven. That's your bubble. You can't take this bubble into heaven. So what God is telling Joshua, what I have for you, it's going to be hard, but be strong. What I have for you is going to be difficult. People are going to stab you in the back. It's going to be long hours. People are not going to say thank you. They're going to take advantage of you. They're going to lie about you. Everything you can imagine is going to happen. But be strong. So when you feel like, man, it's hard, be strong. Get out of your mind life's supposed to be easy. Just get that out of your mind. Matter of fact, Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, they had work. God said, take care of the garden. It wasn't just vacation. They had work in the garden. There were rules in the garden. So if you get in your mind, I'm going to work, then it's fine. Okay? One of our taglines might be, The Rock, get to work. You know, people come to church, okay, make me feel better. Sing songs I like. Get my seat that I want to sit in. Make the temperature real comfortable for me. Make my parking spot available. Help me get out of the parking lot really fast. Well, none of that's going to happen necessarily. This ain't about that. This is about, I'm coming. Let's go to work. Matter of fact, when we go to our new building, it's like August 26th, our first Sunday. And I'm thinking, okay, what's my first service going to be? What's my first message going to be? Blah, 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 blah. In the very beginning, in the first month, sometime there's going to be a whole sermon on, let's get to work. Because people, I know there's a whole lot of people that are waiting for us to go. They don't want to deal with the traffic. They don't want to come here because they want it easy. So they want to wait till we get over there. That's fine. And then they have a nice little building, but we're here to do work. This building ain't for people to be comfortable. It's for us to get the work done. People, oh yeah, it's my church. Hey, I don't do nothing. I just sit in a comfortable seat and look at the big screen and all that. And no. No, we got work to do. So he said, Joshua, we got work to do. And it's going to be hard. God's looking for soldiers. He ain't looking for fans. Look what it says next. Number two in your notes. Even though you will be tempted to rely on yourself and others, even though you will be tempted to rely on yourself and others, remember God has all the answers. Therefore, consistently place your trust in the word's promises. Verse 7. Everyone say Kazakh. Say Kazakh. Verse 7 says, only be strong and very courageous that you may be able to observe to do according to all of the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right or to the left that you may prosper where you go. He said, Joshua, do what I say. I was in Palm Springs Friday, drove there Friday, came back Friday. And when I drove back, it was 10 o'clock at night. I was by myself. And when I love to drive, and I love to drive at night, and I love to drive at night by myself, because it's like a challenge. It's just like, okay, where am I going? L.A.? Okay, 2 hours. I'll make it in an hour and 40. I drove, when I was 23, I drove from San Diego to New York, Long Island, in 2.5 days by myself. Yes. It was like a contest. I left at 1 o'clock from Qualcomm Stadium, left at 1 o'clock and was on the way and had my map, all my cassettes. We didn't have CDs back then. This was this is before some of y'all were born. How many of y'all were not born in 1983? Okay, dang, look at that. I was already driving. That's right. Hey. So I had like 50 cassettes all over my seat, had my map, and the map had about 100 something miles per page. It was called a tip pick from AAA. They highlight the whole trip, and you just turn the page, another 100 miles, all the exits, all the freeways. So I was like page to page, just And when I would get tired, you know, I like to drive at night better than in the day. So I just drive all night. Then take a couple hour nap and then drive all night. Take another and then keep going. So anyway, the other night I was driving to Palm Springs. That's nothing. I do that in a candy bar. I'm done home. So I'm driving. When I go to Palm Springs, I go through the mountains. Not the 10. It's too boring. Just kind of go through. You know, there's no danger. The mountains, you could die, you know. So it's more exciting. So I'm driving up the mountain 2 days ago, nighttime, pitch black. Why's it got to be black? It's nighttime. And there's no lights, no cars, no street lights, no city lights, nothing. It is pitch black, and there's no cars around. So all I could see was right in front of the car where the light was. I can't see down the road. Anyway, there is no down the road because it goes like this around the cliffs. So there's really nothing. There's no way to look. It's just like you're driving, and all you can see is right there. So I'm driving. This was fun. On the mountain. And I know because I've been up and down that mountain before that sometimes there's a rock cliff to your right where you could scrape the car, and then sometimes there's a cliff straight down where you can go die. Go be with Jesus. So it's like, you know, you're constantly on the verge of death, you know, and the Bema seat experience right there. As I'm going right down. So I'm driving up this mountain, but I'm only looking down. I can't look out because there's nothing to look at. You can't see anything. So I can only see, and it didn't dawn on me until I was halfway up that I'm not looking anywhere except right in front of me. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just following this yellow line. The yellow line went into a wall. There are many people, when God calls you to do something, you are not happy with just knowing a little bit of information. You want to know all the information. And God says, my word is a lamp to your feet. I'm only going to shine a little bit. That's all I'm going to show you. You're like, no, God, but what happens after that? And if I do that, how am I going to know it's going to work out? And what if this happens? God says, you got to trust me. I'm driving this mountain. I'm trusting that what I'm seeing in front of me is all I need to see. And I went up that mountain, and I made it. And that's how God has you. When you move, the light moves. Then you see a little more, then you take another step, and the light moves. That's trusting God, a little bit at a time. Every now and then, he'll throw the high beams on everything, and you'll see all the vision of your life, and then he'll shut it back down. And then sometimes he'll turn the lights completely off, and it'll be pitch black, you can't see anything. How many of y'all did that with your dad driving in the mountains or somewhere where you turn the lights off in the car and scares you? God will do the same thing. Trust in his word. Look what it says next in your notes. Fear, false expectation appearing real. Fear is false expectation appearing real. Think of something you fear. 80% of what you worry about never happens. And the 20% that does happen, you can't do anything about it anyway because it happens. And usually when it happens, it's never as bad as you think. How many of you had something you really were scared to happen, and then after it happened, you realize that wasn't that big a deal? And by the way, you learn more when bad things happen than when good. Matter of fact, you don't learn jack when something good happens. All that reinforces is that sometimes that reinforces the lie. Pleasure is fine, but it's not about teaching you anything. Pain. Pain is way overrated as being bad. It's not as bad as you think. If you think about all the pain you had, I guarantee you, you can look back and go, this is the good that came out of it. Think about someone you broke up with recently. Oh, it's painful. I'm breaking up. Painful, trust me. I know. But thank God. Woo! What was I thinking? Look at number three in your notes. Even though you will feel all alone at times, God will never leave you alone. Therefore, courageously promote God's agenda. Remember, you're trying to pursue God's promise for you. Remember, you're the leader of your life. And remember, sometimes you're going to feel all by yourself. Look what God says, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Say day and night. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Say prosperity. Say success. All that means is what God has planned for your life will come to fruition, and only God knows what that is. God has not destined all of you to be millionaires. He's not destined you all to have a house in La Jolla on the cliff overlooking the water. He's not destined you to have, Brad Pitt as your husband. He may have predestined you to be by yourself, living in one bedroom apartment, making minimum wage, but so happy you can't stand it. And you, some of you are going, oh, I hope not. Think what you... Think about what you just said. You hope not is true. Think about it now. Listen, what you just said, I hope not, because I don't want to be happy that way. Think about that. I'd rather risk being happy my way than being happy God's way. Think about it. If you're happy, you're happy. Don't you know? Let me tell you something. Don't you know that you can buy a 3,000 square foot home, have a nice Mercedes and a Lexus, and someone come to your house and think you live in the ghetto? Because they live in a 15,000 square foot home with a Rolls Royce and a Bentley and a Porsche and all that, and they got servants, and they're looking at you going, you clean your own house? And you're thinking, this is beautiful. Your one-bedroom apartment that I talked about, to some people living in a box is luxury. It's all relative. If you would just say, Lord, whatever you want. And don't think getting married is going to make you happy. Right. I know his wife ain't with him. I know his wife ain't with him. If she is, we need to bow and pray right now for that brother. Woo! That was kind of emphatic. Right. I don't even want to look over there because that stuff may ooze out and get on me. At our marriage retreat last year, we had a speaker who was amazing. Unfortunately, he's not available this year, so we got another guy, but he was just an amazing guy. And he said something very interesting. He says, you know, you don't get married to have someone make you happy. You get married to make them happy. And too many times marriages don't last because one spouse is expecting the other spouse to make them happy. Don't get married because someone makes you happy. Get married because you are committed to blessing them. And if you focus on blessing them, everything will take care of itself. This is not about getting, it's about giving. And so what God said, prosperity and success is about you becoming what I've called you to be. Get your mind off material things. Material things are going to rust, they're going to get stolen. Why would you focus on that? It's going to fly away like wings. The Bible says riches fly away like with wings of eagles. But look what it says in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is according to written in it. Now, let me tell you something, youngins. Don't get caught up in Bible study because you want to learn a lot of Bible so you can prove how much Bible you know. Don't do that. You want to learn Bible so you can do it, not talk about it. What does that mean? You want the Bible to transform you. He says, I want you to meditate in it day and night and do it. Not talk about and prove how much you know it and win arguments with people. That's not what you should ever do. You should never seek to win an argument with anybody. You should seek to win them for Christ. You don't do that by winning an argument. So you want to learn it, understand it, and then apply it in love. Now, look what he's saying. This is a guarantee from God. This is a promise. God says if you read the Bible and you study it and you do it, you will have success. How many of y'all want to succeed? Okay? You want to know how to succeed? First, let me tell you what success is. Having God's plan implement in your life, not yours. Problem number one, we have our plans. God, what is your plan? Some of y'all are on a path to achieve something that God does not want you to achieve. You're wasting your time. Now, might you achieve it? Yeah, but you won't be happy because he's not in it. So don't waste your time doing that. Okay? I was an engineering student. I love math and science. I was good at math and science. I went to MIT for a summer program when I was in high school. Y'all know what MIT is? It's the hub of science schools. I was 16 years old. Matter of fact, the guy I met 31 years ago when I was 16, we just hired him as a consultant here at the church. We're still friends 31 years ago. He went to Stanford. He was really smart. I was fake smart. God did not call me to be an engineer, but that was my experience then. If you want to be successful, find out what God wants you to be, and then read the Bible day and night. What does that mean? Just read it in the morning, think about it during the day, meditate on it, learn it, talk about it, and obey it. Guaranteed success. Now, if you're pursuing God's, if you're pursuing something God doesn't want you to be, or God has not ordained you to be, and you're not reading the Bible, you will not be successful. What does that mean? You may have all the money in the world, all the cars in the world, but you won't be happy. What profit if you gain the whole world and lost your soul? But what if you can be doing what your passion is and be happy? You can't wait to get up in the morning to do whatever God's called you to do, and how much money you made and where you lived didn't matter. And you had everything you needed. What difference does it make if you're eating three eggs in a clean apartment versus three eggs in a 40,000 square foot mansion? Well, there is a little difference, but you know what I'm saying? No. It's still three eggs. It's still a fork. It's still going in your nasty mouth. It's the same. It's the same. Let's keep reading. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you be strong and of good courage? Say Kazakh. Say Kazakh. Only do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for your Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is always going to be with you everywhere you go. Number 4, even though there will always be opposition to you, God has someone you can count on. Therefore, persistently nurture trusted friends. Three of the 12 tribes that were going into the promised land, 2.5, said they wanted to stay on the east side. And Moses accommodated them before he died. He said, you guys can stay on the east side, but you have to go fight in the west side first. So they discussed that in this passage, and then look what a conclusion they came out to in verse 16. Verse 16 says, they answered Joshua saying, all that you command us, we'll do. We'll go in and fight, like you said, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses, we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Verse 18. And then these guys said to Joshua, whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. What these guys said to Joshua, Joshua, we got your back. We got your back. As we trusted Moses, we're going to back you up too. My point is this. When God calls you out as a leader of your own life, there are individual human beings that God has assigned to support you, to encourage you, to educate you, to mentor you, to pray for you. Human beings are the most dependent creatures on the face of the earth. Animal babies, independent, some from the minute they're born, they're independent by themselves. Human babies, dependent on the mother's 30, 40 years. And y'all youngins, y'all think, I'm grown. I'm going to college on my own. You ain't grown. You ain't grown. Mommy, can you do my laundry? Mommy, can I have some money? Mommy, can I? Please, you're still on the bottle. Why did God make us that way? Because God, by the way, God hasn't made you to be dependent for 30 years. But don't get me wrong. But why has God made us to be dependent on each other? Because he has designed us for a relationship. You were not created to figure out life by yourself. And you could take what I'm getting ready to say to the bank. You could take what I'm getting ready to say to the bank. And by the way, if you believe what I'm getting ready to tell you, it would change your life, like hopefully everything else I said. Hopefully. You will never come up with the best idea by yourself. You will never do the best job you can do if you do it by yourself. About 2 years ago, 3 years ago, no, actually, it's been about 3.5 years ago. Got an email, young lady in the church. She was like 21, 22. She says, I want to help Pastor Miles with his sermons. I was like, this girl thinks she is. The audacity. The nerve. Emailed her back and said, I don't think so. Homie, don't play that. You know who homie is? Do y'all know who homie is? Homie the clown? Okay. I didn't know if y'all knew who homie the clown was. So a few months later, I saw her at this function. And she's like 22 years old, little short, little hair, all sweet, fourth grade teacher. Hi, I'm so-and-so, and I just want to email and want to help you with your sermons. And I'm being a little pastorly and professional. Like, yeah, it's very nice of you to offer that. And, I don't think so. You know, how many sermons have you preached? And, I'm just that thing. And, you got no spirit. I'll keep your number for later reference. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Well, that girl, she's a woman now. She actually has two children. And she's a very, very close friend of mine. And she has changed my life. Because she is so smart in something I'm not as smart as she is. There are people that God is going to send to your life, people you would least expect. And what I just told you, I joke around with her all the time and say that to her. Actually, I call her a pilgrim. When I was growing up, we referred to people... people who had no pigment. It's like this is a pilgrim test when I was growing up. If you pressed on the finger and when you took it on the hand and when you took it away, it stayed white for a long time and the blood had to come in like that. That was a pilgrim, no pigment. The reason I call her pilgrim is because she is so innocent to things like who's Michael Jordan? What's crystal meth? Just like those kind of things she doesn't know about. But what she does know is like this. And God would send people into your life that may have nothing in common with you, who want to help you in a way you can't imagine. Now, I want you to imagine this. That God has called you to something amazing. And he says to you, one, what I've called you to is going to bless so many other people. It's not just about you. Number two, my word is going to be your truth. You don't have to worry about figuring it out. Number three, I'm going to be with you. And number four, I'm going to send people into your life to mentor you and encourage you and guide and direct you. You're never going to be alone. How could you lose? Instead, we're going trying to accomplish something that's just for us. We're not including anybody in it. Anybody that will challenge us, just yes men and women. We're not listening to anybody's opinion but our own. And God, he can come in on Sunday. That's the difference between someone who's successful and someone who's a failure. Someone who's going to be happy and someone's going to be miserable. You have no reason to not do it God's way. No reason. And by the way, I would tell you this. I would never have just one mentor in your life. You should have someone who helps you spiritually, someone who helps you with relationships. Y'all want to get married? How many of y'all are single in here? Let me tell you something about y'all singles, peoples. Trust me in what I'm getting ready to tell you. I've been married it'll be September, 23 years. You don't know nothing. Nothing about being married. Being married is not a super date. fellas, trust me, you don't know women yet. It takes decades of intense study every day to figure out the female species. It's a complicated maze of contradiction. It's complicated. It's complicated. You need God. And women, you have no idea how we think. Why is that good? Praise the Lord. That's horrible. You have no idea how we think. You are clueless. Why do I say all that? If you're going to date someone and get married, please. This is for real. Get a Christian couple who's been married for some time and ask them to mentor you. It will change your life. It will save you. And for some of you, you won't get married. Why? Because you're going to realize that who you're getting ready to marry, you don't know. You don't know them. You don't know the expectation. And when you find out what that is, you're going to go, that's not what I thought. My point is this, is that God has people in your life to mentor you in your relationships, to mentor you in your career, in your education, in your spiritual growth, in every area of your life, in your health, and working out, whatever it is. You should get those people because you can never do any of that by yourself as good. Now, if you will, for a minute, take out this card. Gentlemen. Take out this card. I want you to think about this for a minute. God has called you to something, and you are not pursuing it because there's some fear, apprehension, unknownness. And you're not pursuing what God has for you because of this obstacle. That is what you're going to write in this card. So you're going to complete this sentence. I know God has something for me, and I know I should be pursuing it, but I am not pursuing it because whatever is, you're writing this card on the black side. Now, when you're writing on the black side, you're going to say, I can't see it. That's the point. We want your fear to go away. Go ahead and take a second and write that down. Lord, I pray that you would speak to everybody clearly. I pray you would challenge them. I pray that they would be honest with themselves and not let the devil cheat them out of a huge blessing because of one or two simple little things that they can overcome with some help. I pray they wouldn't let him play them for that big of a sucker. Thank you for being good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's your homework. Take this home, memorize this verse, and begin to begin to challenge that issue, because the devil can use that to cheat you out of this. What a big victory that would be. The devil could use that to cheat you out of this. When you take communion, when Jesus was on the cross, getting ready to be crucified, he asked God, "God, is there any other way we can accomplish this without me dying?" In other words, this is hard. But then he said, "Not my will," because this is not about me being in my bubble, "but your will be done." What he did, we need to do. "God, you called me to do that, and it's going to be hard, but not my will, your will." Here's how we're going to take communion. We're going to have, don't move there. I was going to explain to you. Everyone's going to stand up, and you're going to go to your right. And we have the ushers come forward. When the ushers come forward, if you are sitting in front of the ushers, you are going to go right. What direction? Right. Come forward, get the elements, and go in a circle just around your section. Not around the whole room. And go back to seat. So it's going to look like this. You follow me? Okay. If you are sitting behind the ushers, you are going to go right, and then you're going to go back around a circle. Back to your seat. Look like that. Y'all got me? Okay. I hope you're not stressed out. I'm so confused. You know, I'm so glad Jesus didn't change his mind at the last minute. Can you imagine that? Where would we be? We wouldn't be here. We'd have no hope. And there are times when the devil wants to tempt you to change your mind at the last minute. And every time that happens, I want you to think about not only you, but I want you to think about the people who don't get help because you changed your mind. That's how you got to think. Because when Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, and when he went to the cross, he wasn't doing it for himself. He wasn't doing it for people who were already in the church, because the church didn't exist. He did it for people who were outside the church. So when God calls you to do something, it's for the people who aren't even saved yet. Often. It could benefit Christians as well. But the church exists to give the gospel and hope to the people who aren't in it. So the reason we study, the reason we disciple and all that kind of stuff is not for our benefit only. It's so we could be more equipped to go help somebody on the outside. That's the purpose. We never want to lose sight of that. It's not about us being comfortable and happy and blessed and all that kind of stuff. God has created us that our highest fulfillment will come in obeying him. And that will always be in agreement with the mission of the Bible has put on our life, which is to propagate the gospel in some form or another. So your highest fulfillment will come in allowing God to use you to reach other people. You will never, ever be as fulfilled any other way. That's a fact. The devil try to convince you otherwise, but it's not true. You never will be fulfilled. Lord, thank you that you allowed your body to be broken. You tell us to take it and eat. This is your body, and to do this in remembrance of you, to remember what you've done for us. We remember you didn't turn back. We remember you didn't change your mind, but you went all the way. We pray we can do that for others. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, thank you for your blood Thank you, your blood was sinless and you shed it for us. Thank you that you offer us the freedom to be who you created us to be. And we take it, acknowledging that freedom and acknowledging the responsibility and privilege that comes with that freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. This card this week, memorize this verse and start confronting what's on the black side of this card. See what happens. And by the way, if you decide that you don't want to obey God, then know what comes with that decision is that you forfeit God's best. You may say, well, I already got a good life. It's not God's best. It could be better. That's what you want. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. Thank you so much that you love us, that you're patient with us. Thank you so much that you give us chance after chance after chance. But Lord, one day those chances are going to run out, and I pray we wouldn't wait that long. I pray you would challenge us here to be obedient. And this week that we would test our obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Two things before you go. We got Girl Scout cookies in the back. We have this taste Girl Scout cookie day. Go buy some Girl Scout cookies. And number two, next week is men's weekend. We're going to have the men's ministry doing the ushering. We're going to have a men's choir doing worship. Got men serving everybody. So therefore, the men's ministry is outside. They would love to get some volunteers of men. Big, strong men's. Can you go outside and sign up? And we're going to have a message on Joshua next week. So go visit our website. Go invite people to Easter and Good Friday. And see you here next week. Amen. God bless you.